Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. One of our soldiers allegedly went on a rampage and killed 16 Afghani civilians. Now, what is all that about? Let's explore it today in the light of what we have learned from Islam, shall we? And what about withdrawal from Afghanistan? Is it time? Is it overdue? Commanding our Marines to check their weapons at the door when Panetta, our Secretary of Defense, visits the soldiers in Afghanistan? What is that about? Hey, what's going on with Romney? Good night, he's appearing phony, looking ridiculous. More wooden than ever. He tries to connect with the common man. It's like a Shakespeare farce. You know, a comedy about an aristocrat doing a mock caricature of a plebeian. Does Santorum have a chance? Let's talk about the race a little bit. And let's see. Did you know Obama wants to spend $900 billion on helicopters built in Russia? Oh, yeah. By a company named Rosoboronexport. That's a Russian state-controlled company, by the way. Yeah, $900 billion goes to Russia to build helicopters for us. And if we get some time, we're going to chat up the oil issue. It's going to be a stimulating, invigorating, insight-inducing brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
One of our soldiers flipped out and killed 16 civilians, and the Afghanis are screaming for blood. This compounds the tensions already generated by the alleged Quran-burning incident a few weeks back. Now, I have great respect for my audience. I know you are intelligent, and most of you are pretty astute observers of cultural trends, and you're able to appreciate satire, and you usually follow me when I make an oblique point, a perspective on the news that comes from an odd angle on a subject. You know, I'm going to need you to perk up your ears and listen deep to appreciate what I believe is a very important point. But you know, radio is a medium that is necessarily fraught with distractions. I mean, you're likely driving in your car, doing dishes, eating lunch, breakfast, depending on what time you tune in, or even washing the car and so on. So what you need to know is that I condemn wholly and entirely and without any reservation the purposeful killing of civilians. I abhor the accidental killing of civilians, especially of women and children. But I fervently condemn with prejudice the intentional slaughter of non-combatant men, women, and children as having any pretense as legitimate in an act of war or for retaliation or to make some kind of political point or statement. Now, something else needs to be said here, and that is we don't yet know what happened. Now, one of our values is innocent until proven guilty. Now, one of our values, another, is to withhold judgment until the facts are established. Of course, I'm not denying this thing occurred. This atrocity did indeed occur. And what's apparent is that this soldier is the one who perpetrated this terrible, heinous act. But we have to sort it all out first, right? And so what this means is, while I condemn the action, I'm not going to condemn the soldier implicated in the action until the facts are established. But I am outraged by this on another level. And this level of outrage is additional to my abhorrence of any soldier killing innocent civilians. So this is very important now. I'm going to offer a very deep insight into this business, but before I do, it is important that you, my dear friends, my loyal listeners, understand that your beloved brain masseur does not offer this insight as a justification for deliberately murdering innocent civilians, either under the pretense of an act of war or as retaliation for such actions by our enemies or to make some kind of political statement to anyone. There is no justification for this kind of behavior. Now, having established all this, I want you to think about something. It's a large point. It requires some background to appreciate. And I want to look at this despicable act from the perspective of what Islam has taught us. Before any inquiry was completed regarding the Quran burning at Bagram, thousands of ragheads blew up into a rage that resulted in the deaths of 30 people. Yeah, including innocent women and children, their own, trampled. And then the call went out by many of these people to kill any Westerner you see. Yeah, the kill order went out on anybody that was American. And they threatened to start killing innocent men, women, and children over this indiscriminately. Additionally, six of our soldiers were executed, soldiers who had nothing to do with the alleged Quran burning. And these soldiers, my friends, had lives. These soldiers had mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, wives and girlfriends and friends whose own lives were shattered by this maniacal behavior. I mean, when these crazy people killed our soldiers who had absolutely nothing to do with this Quran burning nonsense, they shattered the lives of many thousands of people over here. Hey, listen, they have broken the hearts of mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. You get my point. These soldiers also had buddies. War buddies, you know, relationships formed in battle create a bond that is probably impossible for most people to understand. And no soldier can dismiss the murder of his buddies casually or carelessly. Instinctively, they want revenge. They want to avenge the life of their buddy. And these feelings don't belong exclusively to grieving Afghanis. The pain felt by an Afghanistan woman over the loss of her son or daughter or husband is not greater than the grief felt by an American mother who receives the dreaded notice that her son or daughter or husband or brother has been murdered by a raging Afghan maniac over the burning of some holy book that he had nothing to do with. And now, add insult to their grief and anger. Insult is something Islam really has a great deal of sensitivity concerning, do they not? Something we learn from Islam. Do you think our soldiers are not angry that Afghanistan maniacs went out into a rage over the burning of their holy book and killed totally innocent soldiers who had nothing to do with it? If you do, I wonder what planet you're from. Do you think the mothers and the fathers and brothers and wives and friends here are not furious that Afghani barbarians would go crazy over the burning of their holy book and start killing innocent people? What does this president think he is doing, apologizing to Karzai for the Quran burning before there has even been a trial? But even if his intel was sufficient to warrant some public admission that an error was made, how can he not in kind demand justice for the murder of our soldiers? This stabbing of our own boys in the back is in some ways worse than what the rampaging Afghanis did in killing innocent people in their rage. Is it any wonder our soldiers are angry? Why are not their leaders demanding justice for the lives of the soldiers who were killed by these rampaging ragheads? President Obama incited the rage. He did it by justifying their irrational, presumptive rush to judgment, and rather than assuage them, he actually encouraged their rage. It's true, Islam has taught us that irrational rage is the way to make your point. So how would Islam have reacted to one of their soldiers of Allah going rogue and killing, let's say 3,000 innocent men, women, and children? Huh? Here's what we've learned from Islam. What you do is this. You gather in the streets and start cheering. You shake your fists in the air and chant, "Death to Afghanistan! Death to Afghanistan!" Yeah, that's what they've taught us. You make a shrine to the soldier who did this murder and write him into the history books as a champion. You bring his name up before the children and teach them that he is a hero of Islam, a true soldier of Allah. What has Islam taught us? Well, consider what Islam does when a rogue soldier of Allah goes on a rampage and kills men, women, and children of America or Israel. Islam taught us that we should say, there are no innocent Afghanis. There are only evil Afghanis. That's what Islam has taught us. Islam has taught us that the way we should respond to challenges against us for what this rogue soldier did would be to say, no, you believe Israel should be wiped out. You believe America is Satan, so it's okay for us to wipe you out. Goodbye. Yeah. I mean, really, what have we learned from Islam? If we respond to this the way they have taught us to respond to these sorts of things, we should blame them for provoking it. After all, they killed six of our own soldiers for nothing. Sons of our mothers and fathers murdered for nothing. We should be frothing at the mouth mad at them. I mean, that's what they have taught us about their religion, about their way, their culture. In Islam, what you do is you turn it all around on the infidel. I hope you see my point. Karzai says we should send all our troops out of the villages. Why? Because one soldier allegedly went rogue. Okay, because several soldiers of Allah have gone rogue in recent times, killing civilians by the thousands, all Afghanis must leave America immediately. All right? All Afghanis must be disarmed anywhere they might come near any of our soldiers at all times, Because two or is it three of their Afghani soldiers went rogue and killed six of ours? So, hey, Karzai, we want all Afghanistan soldiers that we are training and helping, we want them all to be prohibited from carrying arms around any of our soldiers. We must insist that they check their weapons outside the gates of our bases and escort them around any American compound under armed guard, never letting them out of sight. Because who knows, they might go rogue. Instead, our ridiculous commanders decide that since the Afghani soldiers are required to disarm before entering a meeting held there by our Secretary of Defense, that our Marines must also put down their weapons. Well, this is outrageous. Our own Secretary of Defense does not trust our soldiers. He is afraid one might go rogue. Why would he be afraid? Are our soldiers beginning to become irate with this administration? Is he piling up on them over and over and over with one slight after another, one insult after another, so that the rumblings are making these guys nervous? What has Obama done to our military? I'm very concerned that Obama has added deep insult to serious injury. He apologized to Karzai for an allegation that Korans were burnt inadvertently before any investigation was completed. And when he did this, he exposed all our soldiers to the rage of these maniacal people. You know, people of the way of Islam. Now, so far as I can tell, he has not demanded an apology from Karzai for the wanton murder of six of our soldiers who had nothing to do with it. I don't know if this rogue soldier just went berserk with this latest egregious insult from the commander-in-chief being the fateful straw that breaks the camel's back. A little desert parable there. Fitting, I think. But it would not surprise me if we discover that in the mix of pressures that finally broke this weak man was anger over this insult from the president, this betrayal on the part of the president alleged against the troops that he has put in harm's way. If I've learned anything from Islam, I've learned that the infidel is always to blame, no matter what. And the definition of infidel is anybody who is not submitted to my religion. Yeah, that's what Islam has taught me. So according to the Islam way, what happened to those people who were shot by that rogue soldier had it coming to them, huh? Yeah, that's what they think. They were nothing but a bunch of infidels, right? Representing soldiers of Allah who killed our innocent sons and daughters. I wonder how many of them ran into the streets calling for the blood of Americans when the Quran burning became a reason for Muslims to riot, trampling some of their own children to death. I wonder if any of these bereaved mothers or fathers joined the throngs in the streets after 9/11. Mind you, this is what Islam has taught me. I've watched how they behave, and this is the way they behave. This is how they argue for the atrocities they commit. This is how they shift blame and dodge responsibility for their own acts of terror. Well, this is what Islam has taught me, but I reject the lesson. I'll continue to uphold the Christian way. We will investigate this matter. If it turns out that indeed this soldier did wantonly kill innocent women and children and men, he will be brought to justice. But I'll tell you something else. Obama needs to accept responsibility for this as well. The commander-in-chief, the buck stops right there. The commander-in-chief failed. He's supposed to have the backs of our boys who are on the line there, and he stabbed them in the back with his nonsensical, premature, and ill-advised apology. But that would have been bearable if he showed at least as much concern for our own soldiers being killed by maniacal ragheads in a rage over the burning of their Quran as he shows for their religious sensitivities and the death of their sons and daughters. This man makes me sick. I'm not going to Islam, and don't you do it either. I won't become like them. We must not allow ourselves to become the enemy we're fighting. I'll be right back.
Whole truth is preached here. Pastor does not omit things that are not popular with the rest of the world. My entire family is growing. And I invite everyone out there listening to come to our Easter Sunday service.
I love Lighthouse Baptist Church because everyone's welcoming and open, and we're like one family that hears the truth. So I invite everyone to come on Easter Sunday.
I love Lighthouse Baptist Church because I've been coming here over 10 years. And just the faithfulness and the truth that's preached here, the reverence for God's word. And I've been retooled as a person through the ministry here.
This is a church that I got saved, and I thought I knew God before, but this is the place I met God. And thank to the pastor that he preaches the word of God strong, and without compromise.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about two, to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Okay, I trust you got my point in the first segment. It is interesting, isn't it, that the Muslims go insane and riot and shoot our soldiers over an inadvertent act of burning the Quran. But by comparison, their response to this massacre is subdued. I mean, the idea of a soldier going totally rogue threw them off their game, I guess. They're gathering steam now and beginning to assert themselves more aggressively in this matter, but not until they were sure this was not going to break out into an all-out reverse jihad. How sad. So is it time to get out of Afghanistan? Let's think about that for a minute. If we withdrew from Afghanistan right now, will it mean that our soldiers who died in that cause died in vain? I don't think so. Consider the cause. Did we go there to get Obama? Partly. And we got him. Thanks to a president alleged who, after all his campaign rhetoric, decided to go ahead after all and continue the Bush policies in that regard. Yeah. But he must receive credit where credit is due. He struggled. He equivocated. He hesitated. Crawfished about till he finally got cornered and then yielded and gave in to go with the mission and to send Obama to the netherworld to meet Allah. Did we go to Afghanistan to engage the enemy on his own territory, making it clear to radical Islamist jihadists that they cannot attack us on our shores without bringing us down on their heads like a rain of fire and brimstone? Partly. And we accomplished that. Did we go to offer them a chance for liberty? Partly. And by the way, we accomplished that also. That they seem to have rejected the liberty we've offered them does not make our offer vain. After all, we are about to celebrate this Easter another who sacrificed his life to provide liberty to the souls of all men. Well, the offering of his life for us was not vain, even though many among us reject him. So if we pull out today, it would not make the sacrifice we have made vain. However, there is another reason we're in Afghanistan, and in Iraq, by the way, that is little talked of, partly because it's sort of a secret. I mean, it's not one of these top-secret classified things, and I'm not revealing some kind of a top-secret classified thing. A kind of de facto reason we're there that's not much talked of because it's not official. Actually, it probably is official. But anyway, it should be obvious to you that one of the reasons we are there is because of the threat posed on the world by radical jihadist Muslims whose headquarters and base of operations is in those deserts. Iran is 6 weeks out from enriching sufficient uranium to make the bomb we're all concerned about. Obama has rejected a proposal from Netanyahu in which Israel would promise to take an airstrike against Iran off the table if Obama would pledge America will strike Iran in its own time in order to stop Iran from going nuclear. You know what? Obama refuses to do that. So Netanyahu is preparing to take care of it himself. And he doesn't want Obama to know when or if he will strike. Obama has put some spies in Israel, we understand, attempting to get advance notice of an attack. Why? What's he going to do? Warn Iran? Is he going to blow the cover off the attack and make it all public in hopes to thwart it? What's he up to? Iran is talking about a preemptive strike against Israel now. And American targets, by the way. Yeah, all the talk about a strike against Iran has been so public, thanks to Obama, by the way, that Iran is making the case for a preemptive strike as a matter of national defense against what is rumored generally as a plan to attack them. That's interesting, isn't it? Obama is really bungling this thing, folks. I mean, either that or he's on their side and simply trying to buy them all the time they need to get the nuke they want. And all of this takes me to the other not-so-talked-about reason we are in Afghanistan, and the one remaining reason to stay. And that reason is Iran. If you look at a map of all our American bases in the region, you will notice they are strategically arrayed around Iran. You should know that Iran plans to use Syria as the battleground for a showdown between Israel and America. Iran doesn't want the conflict to spill into their streets. But it will if America gets involved. They're counting on, well, that depends. They're counting on Obama's dilly-dallying diplomacy and intend to mount up an assault on Israel from Syria that will force Israel to engage Iran in Syria, where they suppose they will be able to hold and defeat them, which I think is an unlikely scenario. However, the attention of the U.S. is being drawn to Syria for another concern. WMD, oh yeah. weapons of mass destruction are back. What poetic justice. Suppose it becomes widely believed that Hussein's WMD, that they were in fact moved to Syria during the revving up for war against Iraq over WMDs reported to be there. Now, remember all that? By the way, we have pictures of convoys and rail movement that supports claims that Hussein was moving his WMDs out of Iraq, anticipating the war. And so what poetic justice would it be if this turns out to be the prevailing opinion among the nations again, as it was with Iraq, and Obama is pressed to engage Syria out of fear of them using WMD against his Arab friends, or if they're developing this WMD argument to justify going into Syria. If so, it'll be because of pressure coming from his Muslim brothers there, you know, who are concerned also about Syria's WMD capabilities. You know, if King Saud demands Obama to bow to his concerns and goes ahead after Assad, fearing his maniacal use of WMD on his own people, and so Syria shuffles the WMD out to another Arab neighbor, say, about Hezbollah in the area of Palestine, and so we go tearing into Syria only to discover all the WMD have been moved. Oh, my goodness. Do you suppose the MSM would hammer on Obama about this the way they did Bush? Not. But my point right now is that, as a matter of fact, the intelligence community in various nations are all expressing concern about Syria's stock of biological warfare weapons, yeah, otherwise known as WMD. Of course, I don't completely understand why the hydrogen bomb is not considered a WMD, or maybe it is, but right now there is immediate concern about WMD in Syria, and I'm serious. One of the reasons we are in Afghanistan is to provide boots on the ground quickly, And to hold key supply routes and strategic positions in the region in case we are compelled to engage Iran militarily. So long as the Iran threat is real, it is unlikely that we're going to want to pull out of Afghanistan. We might have to, but One wonders if some of this is orchestrated, you know, or at least being manipulated by interested parties to get us out of the region so Iran can do its thing. Anyway, the only remaining concern or reason to remain there is the Iranian threat. If you think about it, we've really come a long way. Now, think about this. Egypt really does not want to go on and on and on with war against Israel. They want to get on with building their economy. Even right now, they're attempting to settle with Israel. Lebanon really doesn't want any more hassle with Israel. Saudi Arabia really does not want any more hassle with Israel. Iraq and Jordan are not particularly interested in continuing hassle with Israel. It's pretty much come down to Iran and Syria and so-called Palestine. Now, remarkable strides have been made toward the fulfillment of prophecies in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, which tell us that there will be a truce in that region and freedom of religion will finally prevail. Anyway, what else do we have here? Next on my agenda is a look at the primary here in America. But you know what? I've got one more thing to say about international affairs. Venezuela, under that dictator Sulfur Lip Chavez, is building up their military arsenal very aggressively. Something like $11 billion in military arms built up over the last 5 years. The company supplying this buildup in Venezuela is Rosoberon Export. And my Russian accent does need some work. Yeah, it's a Russian state-controlled company charged with the implementation of Russian state policy regarding military technical cooperation with foreign countries. Now, this is the same company, by the way, that is supplying arms to Iran and Syria. Yeah. Now, Obama wants to buy $900 billion in helicopters from Russia. Senators Durbin and Cornyn want to pull the deal as a rebuke against Russia for supplying arms to Syria's butcher Assad. You know, but what I want to know is why aren't we building our own helicopters, eh? $900 billion spent here at home sounds like a rather stimulating idea. Watch the Syrian, Iranian, China, Russia connection. A new axis of evil forming. The rise of the bear. A little prophecy lingo there. But really, why are we buying $900 billion in helicopters from Russia? Can't we make our own helicopters? And wouldn't $900 billion spent here do a lot to create jobs, stimulate our economy? You call me, let me know what you think about that. And then talk about stimulating our economy. Talk about the oil issue for a moment. On private and state lands, oil production is increasing. But on federal lands, it's being reduced. At a time when we need to increase on all fronts, you know, how can you allow this president to take credit for the increased production in state and private land where he has no control, he had nothing to do with it, and then not hold him accountable for the 14% reduction in production on federal land, where he does have significant control? How can you give Obama a pass when he brags about increased oil production on private and state land when we all know he resents it and wants prices at $5 a gallon? How can you listen to this man boast about what he's determined to do to free us from dependency on foreign oil, say OPEC, and to provide jobs for Americans while his policies contradict every promise he makes? He refuses to allow the pipeline from Canada. He refuses support for drilling here, but sends billions to Brazil to drill there. How can you listen to this man and not start chanting, liar, liar, pants on fire? Anyway, I've got to offer a few remarks on the primary. Santorum won Alabama and Mississippi in spite of Romney's y'all and grit tasting. Oh, man. He does. He looks very wooden there, very uncomfortable in his own skin. Like a Shakespearean farce, where you have this aristocrat doing a kind of mock caricature of a plebeian. It just does it. Newt was right when he pointed out that conservatives just don't want Romney. But Romney has 495 delegates. And yet many of these were won with desperation votes. Listen, Santorum has 252 votes, delegates, excuse me. Newt has 131. Paul has 48. So the combined conservative delegate count, if you throw Paul's libertarian 48 in there, it comes to 431, still short of Romney's 495. But keep in mind that conservative voters are swimming upstream against a formidable money machine supporting Romney. If you consider what I call the dissatisfaction adjustment, conservatives can band together and refuse Romney the nomination. The GOP is falling into the same trap that gave Obama victory in 08. And that is this: settling for a candidate that most don't want because Obama supporters have convinced you that a moderate is the only way to win. I'm telling you, it's the surest way to lose. If you got Obama and Obama light, you know, you got a choice between two Obamas. You can play this lesser than two evil game over and over until you finally just wear us out and we say, forget you. Just forget it. Now, I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see that they are on. Say the lights on if you see they're on, and you will ride like Revere and spread the news, the warning. It means basically you agree with what I'm saying and so on. And if you disagree, you say lights off. And that means, of course, you reject what I'm saying and disagree strongly with me. So what will it be today, lights on or lights off? Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. If you're using a cell phone, you don't need the 1-888-770-8000. 1-888-770-8000. Leave me a message on our listener response hotline. I will be in town this weekend, so I'll be able to receive calls personally. Looking forward to talking to you. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States. From outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com, thebrainmassageshow.com. Click on the Contact Us button. If you're in a hurry, you can just give me lights on, lights off, and then hang up. I do love to hear from you. By the way, if you call and I'm on the line with somebody else, you can leave a message on our hotline. And if you would like me to, I'll call you back as soon as I'm done with that caller. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
Gotta have more? We understand. Tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.